you tell us what is different about Alaska from the beginning of the year. Our list of news is mostly about things that didn't happen. Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. What have you seen change in Alaska over the last year? Our number is 1-800-478-8255-478-TALK. A local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. Email talk@alaskapublic.org. We had weather, we had budget cuts, we have a new Iditarod champion, innumerable movie shoots. We'll try to look at the year in review today on Talk of Alaska, statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company, and by Premera Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska, which has been providing quality health plans to companies and individuals in Alaska for over 60 years. More at Premera.com. Premera Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska. We know the territory. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Well, it's always been those weeks, that 1 week in between Christmas and New Year's is notoriously slow for news. People have the day off. And so news organizations often, to fill their newscasts, frankly, take a look back and try and put together a list of the top news of the past year. It's very hard to do, my friends, for the year 2011. Because there are a lot of small stories, and it seems really that a lot of the things that most affected Alaska are things that didn't happen or might happen later, or that people are hoping will happen. There's really not that many big news stories. Once you get past the weather, because that is probably the biggest news story of the year for Alaska. We had strange weather from the beginning of the year, through the fire season, through the flood season, and then those weird fall storms. It's all been unusual. And it could be that this is going to be the new norm. We don't know. And we might, in future years, look back to 2011 as the first year where we saw the weather going into its new pattern that it's going to keep. We can hope not, though. Our telephone number is 1-800-478-8255. And I'd like to call on you to tell us what was the big thing for you during the past year. Got a lot of ideas. I went over all the old newscasts and rundowns and got some ideas of issues and things that were very significant and did change over the past year. But as far as news stories, there aren't that many. I mean, what do you do with a news story about coastal zone management never passing? It didn't. And you could even go down to the budget. Normally, we would have our bureau chiefs on, one or both of them, Libby Casey in Washington, D.C. She's off this week, though. And if she were here to talk, she'd be talking about a year of frustration, largely, because Congress has been sort of stuck in a partisan gridlock and unable to agree about spending or spending limits or any of it. And how that relates to Alaska is in a number of different ways, but the big one is that the way that they are writing budgets nowadays, instead of through the regular appropriations process, has created a situation where the native nonprofit health corporations are not getting the funding increases that they anticipated in their budgets. And so in at least two cases, and maybe even three, but I certainly know in Bristol Bay and in Manilik up in Northwest, so that's northwestern Alaska and southwestern Alaska, both had to do layoffs, large amount of layoffs, because suddenly they realized the federal money was not going to be there that they had expected. So that was big, and that was certainly big news for Dillingham, big news for Kotzebue. And, you know, so maybe that makes your list. Like to know what it is. What was the big news for you over the year 2011? The telephone number, 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. You can say, well, one of the big stories was the Save Our Salmon Initiative. Well, maybe, but we don't know if it's constitutional or not. It's an initiative that is still going to be under challenge in the court, and it's about a mine for which there has not been any, we don't know what the development plan for that mine is. So even though there's been endless talk about it, it's hard to say that it is a news story. It's an issue. It's an issue that was on our minds all through the year. It's also hard to say if anything really changed on that, but maybe it did. What do you think? 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, a local call from Anchorage at 550-8422, or you could chime in by email at talk@alaskapublic.org. Now, if we had Dave Donaldson on, and he is also on vacation, he's down in Portland right now. Libby Casey's actually in an airplane. Donaldson would also talk about a year of frustration. They even had a special session to try and pass coastal zone management. Didn't do it. So now that's become a ballot measure as well. And so that's kind of where we stand with that one. And we'll see if we basically it was it took a long time from when it was submitted in October until it was approved for signature gathering last week. And there's basically just a matter of a few short weeks before the legislature goes into session, and they have to collect, what, I think 26,000 signatures, and they have to be distributed around the state. So that's quite a challenge for the people that are pursuing the coastal zone management thing, which largely, once again, fell victim to a kind of a partisan gridlock. With the idea that if there was a local voice in coastal zone management, it might impede permitting and development. It's probably something that if the governor had chosen to really come on board with, he could have got through, but he chose not to. And the result was that the House and Senate just couldn't quite push it across the line. There was always resistance someplace, and it never made it. Our telephone number, 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. I'm Steve Heimel. This is Talk of Alaska. It is statewide. It's always interesting to hear reactions from around the states. What was the big news in your part of the state over the past year? You look at the Yukon or Kuskokwim Rivers, up and down both rivers, certainly the Yukon, there were substantial salmon fishing curtailments this year, and even on the Kuskokwim, it was not what they wanted. And so that's probably in the top 10 stories for anybody who lives on that river and subsists. So I did go over things as possible candidates for the big stories of the year. I think I ended up with maybe 30 or 35 of them. And once you get done talking about the weather and the sea ice, it's pretty hard to figure out what the other top stories are because for different people, different things are important. In the town of Anchorage, we had a great deal of violent deaths and violent crime. It really went on quite the upswing. And certainly a story of concern in Anchorage. Another issue that certainly surfaced and was an important one in Anchorage was the decision to do something about homeless camps, which ended up being evictions of people from where they were living in the woods illegally. It took a while to make it legal and constitutional, but it was finally done. And the result was what? Some protesting on the sidewalks and then an ordinance saying it's illegal to sit on the sidewalk. So that was a significant news issue also in the town of Anchorage. Harry Crawford joins us. Hey, Harry, welcome to Talk of Alaska. What's your big issue?
Well, I've got two, Steve, and good morning to you.
Good morning.
One is that we finally got approval to get some renewable energy into our grid with the Fire Island Wind Farm.
I'm glad you brought that up. That was definitely on my list. It was interesting because Municipal Light and Power essentially made an offer to buy that power, but it was deemed to be kind of ridiculous. And there was an actual resignations from the MLMP board because of that offer. And then there was a turnover on the board of Chugach Electric, and very quickly they entered into a contract with Cook Inlet.
Yep, but it's, you know, it's been reduced from the size that it was. It's you're not going to get the economies of scale that we once would have realized had it been a larger farm. But it's still going to be successful, I'm quite sure, and it's a good start and get us to renewable energy that you can have stable pricing for years and years to come, instead of being stuck on natural gas that is going to be volatile, to say the least.
Harry, what do you think about the, you know, another major development was the legislature decided to go ahead and start putting money into the Susitna Power Project. Now, you and I have both been around the state long enough to have seen this before. How do you size that one up now?
Well, I mean, they have resized the Wautana Dam down to something that's more feasible for Alaska, but still, you know, many of the same problems that existed in the early 80s exist today. It's going to be a long road between here and the day that we actually get hydropower from the Wautana Dam. Estimates are anywhere from $6 to $10 billion. That's a big project.
Yeah. That's a lot of construction jobs, though.
It is, and you know, I would love to see it, but it's, you know, there are other smaller projects that I think that are much more feasible and possible to get done in the interim. That's a long-term fix for Alaska's energy problems.
So do you think that when it's looked back on some years in the future, that they will be able to say 2011 was the year that Alaska got serious about renewable energy, maybe? That it
I
turned?
I think that that's the year that we got our foot in the door.
All right. Okay, you said that was one issue. What was the second one?
The other is to take control of our own destiny and build our own pipeline size right for Alaska and create our own markets right here to do value-added industry using our own natural gas from the North Slope. We need to build a right-sized pipeline down from Prudhoe Bay at least to a hub in Fairbanks or Delta Junction, and then from that point forward, the market can take over as to whether, I mean, we're going to be shipping it down the highway or to Cook Inlet or to Valdez to ship to the Pacific Rim. But we need to take control of our own destiny, do it ourselves. Alaskans have done this before, and we can do it again.
Yeah, the year 2011 is the year that basically after spending, I don't even know, a few hundred million dollars, BP and ConocoPhillips basically said it doesn't pencil out. We're not going to go forward with the Denali pipeline. The AGEA is going, but the governor has said you really need to take more seriously the LNG option now. And so, in a sense, a corner's been turned. The commitment for going into Alberta with the pipeline is not what it once was, is it?
No. I mean, it was always iffy. We were trying to get our gas into the queue, but I think we missed that window. Now we have a lot of shale gas in the lower 48, so we have a tremendous resource up here. Let's use it ourselves. And the way to do it is to rely on Alaskans and do it ourselves.
All right, Harry, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We're looking into what you think was the big news of the past year. Year's a long time. When you look back over the events of the year, you see there were a lot of events. And what were the big ones for you? We had movie shoots. That has changed the professional prospects for a lot of Alaskans I know that live in the Anchorage area and always wanted to make a living in the film business. And now they're seeing they're actually getting work from these movie shoots that are coming in. 2012 is going to be interesting because then these movies hit the screen and all of a sudden Alaska is, within weeks now, I think next month, the whale movie, which is now called Big Miracle, I think, is going to hit the screen. And it'll be interesting, the impression that people take away of Alaska. Speaking of impressions people take of Alaska, is this the year that Sarah Palin faded off of the radar screen? Did she do a fade? Is it over? Is the Palin thing over with? Did it sometime in the last month when she decided maybe she wasn't going to try and be president this time around, did it fade? Is it gone? They seem to think so in the lower 48. How about you? 1-800-478-8255, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422, and email us talk@alaskapublic.org. Nina in Anchorage, what was the big deal for you during the past year?
I would have to say the biggest deal for me is how the Bristol Bay Native Corporation finally took a stand saying that they do not want the Pebble Mine to be developed in the Bristol Bay region. And the people with the Pebble Mine have stated that if the Bristol Bay Native Corporation, or if 81% of the people were to agree that they do not want it, that they would pull out of there. And however, they have not pulled out of there. And one of the things that I would like to see come from our governor is for him to take a stand, a yay or a nay, on this, because we haven't heard anything from him, from Governor Parnell, whether he is for it or against it. And being that Alaska is, we're the people that live here, the people in the village that live here, we're the ones that live on the land for forever. We know what we want and what we don't want. We know what's good for our children and our grandchildren, those that come, and what is not good for us. You would think that we would hear more from the state of Alaska on this instead of kind of leaving it to where it kind of feels like it's the Bristol Bay people against the Pebble Mine people. And so that was something that I wanted to bring up.
Well, there has been, I've watched public opinion in that area, in that region, take a bit of a shift. And Lake and Peninsula now, the entire borough, the people did vote for the Save Our Salmon initiative. So that in a way there is, and then the Bristol Bay Native Corporation, which I believe at one point approved of it, right? Didn't it? Weren't they in favor of the mine for a while?
I think in the beginning they may have been somewhat in favor of it, but there has been so much opposition from the people in the region itself that they've taken a stand against it.
Yeah.
And I would really like to see the state of Alaska, our governor, to say what is his opinion on this. What does he think should happen on this?
And yeah.
There is support from all the coast, all the people that are coastal. I've talked to chiefs of villages and whatnot from other regions that said, you have our support, Kodiak, Southeast Alaska, anywhere where they're exposed to, their way of life is subsistence or commercial salmon fishing, crabbing, whatnot, are against it. So why are these people still here? Why are they still trying to pursue this?
Well, they are still. They still say that they can find an environmentally responsible way to develop those resources. But that's why they're still here.
I don't think so. It's too risky, in my opinion. It's too close to the salmon. We're already seeing effects of it from the villages that it's nearby already, with declining caribou and wildlife and whatnot. And all it would take was one mistake, and that's it. So
it is pretty.
Anyway, I just wanted. I'm not in any big wig political person or anything. I grew up in the village, and I also grew up in the lower 48. So I've had a taste of both, the city life and the village life. And my sister has 10 kids in the village, and she relies a lot on subsistence living. She has like 3 or 4 freezers, and I could just see disaster coming with this. And the other thing is this. When the gold is gone and the damage is done, then what's left for the people after us? So I look at it this way. It may look like a good thing now. For me, it's power. and it's greed. That's what I see. I mean, I could be wrong in all of that. You know, there are people up there obviously working in Illyhama and whatnot for the Pebble Mine, but I don't really think that they're thinking about the future down the line for their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren and whatnot. But that's all I have to say about that, and I'm so glad you guys are on the air.
All right, Nina.
Let me share.
All right, thank you. Thank you for telling us what was important to you about the year gone by. For some people, it's going to be the loss of Arnie Fugelvog, or the disappointment in Arnie Fugelvog. Maybe that would be the word. If you're into fish, you know Arnie. And the idea that he was fishing across the line and that this may be a common practice with Sablefish IFQ holders is shocking, to say the least. So that was... I'm sure that was a big one for a lot of people. The continuing controversy about the 8As might also be one that was big for you. It's certainly big for a lot of the native corporations, especially the village corporations, and the regionals are to the point where they want some reform in 8A regulation by the Small Business Administration now, because otherwise they're afraid there will continue to be scandals. It's a pretty interesting situation. 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, and we'll go down to Kenny Lake. And Sam, welcome to Talk of Alaska, Sam.
Well, good morning. You asked a question of whether Palin was an issue of the past year, and I have a little reflection on that.
Yes. Well, what is your reflection?
Well, I was reading a book in which they were ridiculing the Sarah Club. Well, reading on, and well, that's interesting that we put this in a book recently published, but the Sarah Club that they turn out to be ridiculing is Sierra Club. they just wrote it as ARA. So this issue is cropping up in all sorts of oddball places. But my thing is here, I think she's a being lost in the shadows of the spruce trees.
Uh-huh. Fading out.
Anything else?
Nope, that's it. Thank you, Sam, for Kenny Lake.
Okay, bye.
Bye. We genuinely did lose some people. There were some notable deaths. You know, going through the obituaries for someone my age is always a sobering experience. But this year... Alaskans of note, we probably lost our foremost artist, John Haynes, Harold Pollack, out of the world of politics, Dennis Maloney, the attorney for the little people. Dennis had a disease he knew would kill him, but finally did. Neva Egan, Dickie Liason, the man who made sure fish farms weren't coming to Alaska. Elder Walter Sobolev, a monument in the history of Alaska. Bill Knoll was a coal executive, political figure in Seward, probably responsible for the Sea Life Center. Those are some of the ones that I took note of over the past year, people that we lost, that Alaska has lost, that were important in the state's history. Stu, welcome to Talk of Alaska from Muldoon. Whoops, Stu was giving up. Oh, but he did tell us what he left a note saying. He thought an important thing was that the Anchorage Assembly decided to pass an ordinance requiring the presentation of identification in order to buy alcohol. And I think one of the reasons for that would be that you can get, when somebody is a habitual DWI person, it ends up on their driver's license, and then you would know and not sell them alcoholic beverages. 1-800-478-8255. We're talking about the year in review. What was the big news of the year 2011 to you? I've got a whole list of nominations, ideas, and thoughts, and so far we've heard people say that the decision on the wind farm between Chugach Electric and the wind farm was important. The fading of Sarah Palin was mentioned. And what was the other one? How quickly I lose it. Pebble Mine. Yeah, that opposition strengthening to Pebble Mine in the area that would be affected. 1-800-478-8255. There was continuing political tangling about coastal zone management and returning a local voice to coastal zone management. We haven't heard the end of that. So it sort of is a news story, and it sort of isn't, because the news was that it didn't happen. BP, after being on probation and having a spill while it was on probation, had another spill this past year that was encased in concrete, so it took them a while to get to it. And so there's continuing questions about BP and its practices in dealing with the corrosion up there at Prudhoe Bay, to the point where the enforcement segment is saying they have violated the terms of their probation. So that's a significant issue. How about the permit finally coming down after, 5 years for that road across a part of the Colville River that will allow a pipeline into the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska? That was a fairly big one. And when it comes to oil and gas issues, there was also the final, you know, after all this time, the awarding of permits to Shell to start looking into its holdings in the Beaufort Sea and in the Chukchi Sea. Certainly the controversy about this has not gone away and won't go away probably. But at the same time, it's significant that they do have their permits and they do intend next summer to go out there and do their exploratory drilling. It's also, to me, significant that Shell has decided to pick up a bunch of leases further down along the coast at Harrison Bay. There was a very interesting oil and gas lease sale that the state and federal government held. They both held sales on the same day. And in the state sale, there was an increase in industry interest, I think you could say. Part of it's the shale play, but some of it is offshore. And there is indication that the industry is still interested in investing in Alaska. There was House Bill 110. That's another one of those stories that's very significant but didn't happen. The House passed a bill to give a tax break to the oil and gas industry, but the Senate won't pass it. So it's another one of those odd situations. I mentioned the federal budget squeeze and what that does to Alaska, but there's also the situation of the posture of the Parnell administration with relation to the federal government. When you look back over all the news of the past year, you see over and over again where Governor Parnell has decided that the federal government is an adversary, whether it's on endangered species or on strings that might be attached to Denali Kid Care, coastal zone management money. Over and over again, even when there's federal money coming in, we're seeing increasingly the Parnell administration and the federal government locking horns. Predator control is another one. The feds are now, you know, actively any place that federal land borders on state land, they are actively opposing and enacting regulations very different from the states with regards to predators. Let's go to Venetia and Nikiski. Venetia.
Thanks for taking my call. This isn't exactly on your topic, but it's my last ditch effort. My dog was stolen out of the yard on May the 7th.
Well, can you give me a description? I love this. Can I have a description here? Can I have a description of the dog?
She looks like a real short pit bull with long hair. She has, she's like a sawed-off long-haired pit. That's the way they describe her. She's got a white chest. She's got 3 white feet. They're just on her toes. Her name's Misdemeanor. We call her Missy. There's $1,000 reward for her.
Wow.
Two dogs came up missing. One was sanctuary, just like an orphan, and my personal dog. And that's at mile 34.4 on the Kenai Spur Highway.
Okay, Venetia, why don't you go ahead and do you want to leave a phone number or something in case somebody might have spotted this dog?
They can call Alaska's Extended Life Animal Sanctuary or me, 741-0668.
All right. Well, glad to help out, Venetia. I hope it is some help.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Okay. It's Talk of Alaska. We're talking about the big news of the past year. And for Venetia, she's very unhappy that her dog's gone. Esther in Anaktuvik Pass, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Yes, good morning for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The most important thing in our community the past couple of years is the road to Umiut from Galbraith. And we've been having meetings and been opposing that. But the most important thing in our community is we continue to survive in carrying out community subsistence way of life, depending on nearby caribou herds to support our livelihood, our diet, our cultural identity. Without these caribou that we've been hunting all these years, generations being our livelihood, our main diet, that's the most important thing, but we're kind of disappointed they wanted to build a road to Umiut. And
this is a
meetings, but
this is a state effort, but it's aimed at oil and gas exploration. Is that, do I have that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. But to my community, most important thing since we're in Alaska in the air is that our subsistence way of life and migrations of our caribou that been coming through, and we're just, the community feels that this is too soon, that we should have time so that we can have some plans or something to work towards, so we all can work together. And I'm sure all the oil and gas up there is available, but it's just that the road to Umiut is one thing that we really don't want to see. We may want to see it in 10, 20 years, but I believe they're getting to work on it now. So.
Yeah, I see your point there, Esther, and thanks for raising the issue.
Okay, thank you. Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays to you. It's Talk of Alaska. We're going over the big news of the past year. What was it for you as Talk of Alaska continues?
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from the Muskox Producers Co-op, whose Alaska Native members hand-knit Kiviut items, located in the Little Brown House at the corner of 6th and H Street. Every Alaskan can make a difference when we file online for our PFD. You can shelter families in crisis, nourish the hungry and homeless, and protect those who have suffered abuse and neglect. And it's easy to share a little of your PFD through Pick, Click, Give. And good things will happen for the causes you care about. This message sponsored by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority and BP.
It's Talk of Alaska, and the big news of the year is what we're talking about on this edition of the show. It's always interesting to get statewide perspectives. We've heard about a lost dog in Nikiski. We've heard about the Umiut Road from Anaktuvik Pass. And, of course, from Kenny Lake, we heard about Sarah Palin. This one from Anonymous in the Bristol Bay area, whether or not The Save Our Salmon initiative turns out to be constitutional. It was a huge step in the opposition of the Pebble Mine. If let the corporations in charge know that the Bristol Bay residents do not want the mine to happen, it's given us, obviously an opponent here, a lot of footing in the political area, in the political arena of the Pebble Mine issue. Also about Sarah Palin, the same person. She has definitely fallen out of the main public eye, and for that I am thankful. She, frankly, is a bit of a joke and makes Alaskans as a whole look bad. I go to school in the lower 48, and every time I mention I'm from Alaska, people laugh and ask me about her. She should never have been taken seriously as a politician, and hopefully she never will again. And that from Anonymous in the Bristol Bay area. Deb from Talkeetna, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Thank you for your fabulous show. My comments are much reflected in the previous. I do believe that Alaska in particular, I'm thinking in terms of our economy and our development and conservation. And at this time in particular, I feel we have the need to really be spokespersons, and our own life must be, we have to take a lot of personal responsibility right now. I was thinking in terms of, for example, I do live in Talkeetna now, having lived in Anchorage for several years, but the Susitna Dam is representative of many other projects that are being suggested or occurring in the state of Alaska. And I think another person mentioned power and greed, for example. Of all times in Alaska, we are now at a time, because of the economy in the lower 48 especially, and in the world, that we need to speak up for our beliefs. And in my case here in the Talkeetna area, the Upper Susitna Valley is, in general, very opposed to the Susitna-Watonna Project, and that is reflected in the Talkeetna Community Council decisions. More information can be seen at SusitnaDamAlternatives.org. There are many, many alternatives to this project, and we are all, of course, very strong advocates for renewable energy, but not blind development. And so,
well, you know, I don't know that country up there at all that would be flooded, but there sure is a bunch of it.
There is, but, you know, in this particular case that I know people are calling in, you know, with issues for their own region, you know, this particular project is also on the Denali Fault, and much of our economy here.
It kind of sits right flat on the fault, doesn't it? I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And, and much of our economy here in the Upper Susitna Valley is absolutely tied in with wilderness tourism. So there is a great deal of concern about that project in this area. And more information, as I mentioned, there are places to go find our concerns expressed quite eloquently at the Susitna Dam Alternative and also the Talkeetna Community Council websites. But, you know, to me, the other thing that is going on in Alaska compared to, say, 30 or 40 years ago, is many of our old-timers and our elders are passing on, and they are the ones that have such a broad perspective on what has occurred in our state. And that's part of why I think also we really need to be not just sitting back. You know, we really need to be speaking up. And it's true for whichever side of the coin you're on, you know, but it's not a time to sit back and be, you know, passive at all. It's really a time to take personal responsibility and whether it be our own living habits in our community, and speak up for projects that are going on in our state. And, you know, we have a lot of resources in Alaska, but we also know that rampant, unguided development of those is extremely destructive to many lifestyles and to our state.
All right, Deb, thanks.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate the opportunity to express my opinion and the rest of us statewide. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, year in review, the subject as Talk of Alaska continues, 1-800-478-8255. a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. Email talk@alaskapublic.org. And Stu in Muldoon, I understand your phone got cut off.
Yeah, Steve, my battery died. Anyhow, I wanted to add about the ID required for carry-out alcohol purchase in the municipality. That got by, but it wasn't just the motivation wasn't just for DUI or DWI people. It was also for the homeless. Harry was on the phone earlier. He could have told you. They also passed an amendment which made it possible to tack on a red stripe for anyone cited for public inebriation 3 times.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so what that means is once we get...
So it gives a person in the liquor store a reason. They may well know that person, but it actually gives them more of a reason to turn them down.
Yeah, well, once they get cited 3 times, they can get a red stripe, and it gives the local communities a big tool they can use to get the inebriates out of the parks. And so that was a big motivation. If you remember the case in Muldoon where the kid killed the homeless guy after, you know, because the kids had been stealing alcohol from the inebriates in the park, and then they started taking money, and then they actually killed the guy. That was the big motivation in the Northeast Community Council to get something done, because people realized that it's the homeless inebriates which are allowing underage people to access alcohol.
Whoa. All right, Stu.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
All right, thank you. Stu from Muldoon. Charlie and Homer, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for the great show. I just wanted to make a comment on a couple of things that were brought up, but I think this year it seems like more and more people are starting to get a hold of this idea of value added for our natural gas and our natural product, maybe our petroleum too. We ought to figure out a way to start adding value to these things before we ship them out of state. I wanted to make a comment about the Shell permit. I don't know if you heard the latest, but apparently the oil spill that Shell is involved in right now in Nigeria is 4 times larger than what Shell is reporting. We're back to the BP phenomena or the Exxon.
You know, I don't think I've ever heard one where they said, it turns out the spill is a lot smaller than we said. We never hear that.
And remember that the spill in Nigeria is just a hose or a line connecting tankers to the supply.
Yeah.
Not a risky drilling thing. So since we can't even pick the oil up out of the water successfully down here in Chesapeake Bay, I don't know how they're going to do it up there on the North Slope. And the comment I'd like to make about the Susitna Dam is we should look, you know, go down to the Lower 48 and look at those big dams down there. The area that gets flooded is gone forever. And there's a lot of territory out there and probably people living in it and everything else. It's just gone forever. You'll never know what's there or what isn't there if you dam it up. So hopefully people will take a look at that before they go damming that up. And thank you for a great show. I appreciate it.
All right, Charlie, thank you. I sure don't know what's in that valley, but boy, you look at the map and it's a long, skinny valley. I mean, and the whole bottom of it's be a lake.
Yeah, right. And everything that's there will be hidden forever, probably. I don't know.
Yeah.
The dams in the Snake River, there was a railroad down in the bottom of the Snake River. There were towns or... It's all gone.
Yeah.
I suppose it's okay. It kept the aluminum industry going. But anyway, thanks for a great program. Keep it up.
All right, Charlie. Thanks for your call from down in Homer. Now to Tony on Prince of Wales. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Tony.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yes, I'm calling to, let people know that we are losing a lot of our dictionaries now. Which I mean by dictionaries that our elders, the backbone of our great Alaskan state, because they were the ones that taught, they were the ones that were the first ones that really taught us how subsistence was to be handled carefully. And now that the federal government that had walked in and say, hey, look, we need to set few rules here and there, you know, that it really turned off Alaskan individuals and all types of Native people that live here in Alaska. You know, fishing is the top major battlefield of all Alaskan world, and all the people that really wants our sources, you know. We're dying out on our economy slowly because we're, you know, having to fight over each individual subsistence, fish, caribou, birds. Now we are being affected with disease on our subsistence, such as seals and walruses. And not only that, when it, you know, when you really think about the word disease, now that they're going to be releasing frankenfish, that's going to put a major big issue on our list. That's going to be the top priority when it comes to having to see different source of fish that comes in all waters. And it may look the same, but the taste will be all different. You know, it's not going to be like the chicken of the sea of our, you know, what we used to live off with, that our elders taught us how to, you know, live off the land carefully, be resourceful, use the tools that you really needed to keep your village, you know, surviving. And also that, you know, the world is not what it's going to be. It's going to change, and it already had started changing in the world. In the year of 2000 up till now, our kids are very much are more attracted to electronics than they are to our elders. We are losing the respect of all kinds because of the drugs, the alcohol, electronics, and the fast food that we are receiving, and which is not real good. Another thing is that that really hit Alaska was that having to see an individual go to jail for a student that had, you know, had missed out in school so many times. I think that is the worstest cruel rule for all major Alaskans.
Well, you know, Arnie,
that shouldn't be put in place.
Tony, you've got quite a list of things that were that are on your mind this year. I want to thank you for that. I think you were very eloquent in explaining how these things are tied together.
Yes, sir. Because with all these that are taking effect to us, we are losing all our young children to this kind of suicide because of, you know, all the major electronics, fast food, and no respect that is being taught to them. You know.
Yeah, we got
to keep a only way to keep a family together is that the family has to start teaching them from ground, you know, from the time they were crawling to the time they're going to, you know, maybe walk out of their house, but still having, you know, the respect in all religions is being lost for the elders that I've noticed, and all the kids now are being more bullied and more up front, you know, wanting to talk back and everything, you know, just don't want to listen no more. Mm. We got major problem here in the world that we needed put a chain down or put a foot down to where we have to start teaching our kids the better way so our suicide will, you know, we need to start teaching the culture of our ways that we used to live, and maybe our suicide rate might fall.
Yeah,
I would like
hopefully
to say Merry Christmas to everybody and Happy New Year's.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Let's try and respect those dictionaries. As Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from Primera Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska, which has been providing quality health plans to companies and individuals in Alaska for over 60 years. More at primera.com. Primera Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska. We know the territory.
It's Talk of Alaska. We're going back over the issues of the year. I'll tell you, a really big issue for me was finding a scientist who would confirm that the ocean levels were rising faster than they had said they were. I did that. I'm proud that I did. I found that out. It's happening. Email from Lucille, who said, Lucy, who says, I think the real story isn't told on Arne Fugelvog, whether or not the senator allowed him to stay employed until he vested in the federal retirement system. All I can say to that one, Lucy, is that we asked her specifically, and she said, absolutely, that is not the case. Carl in Anchorage, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. There's a lot. I respect the other from Southeast that recently spoke. I agree wholeheartedly that we need to address these issues of losing these ways that connect us back to nature, and the electronic world is a challenge. But I did want to talk. I mean, he did mention the walrus and the seal. I think that was significant news on the Arctic as well.
I think it's definitely significant. We don't know how big the thing is, but, you know, signs aren't good right now.
Yeah, I know they're checking to see if that big event from Fukushima, in which multiple EPA monitors for radiation detected some pretty, to me, it was pretty significant. As a biologist, those numbers are significant, since the risk of cancer increases at the same rate of the increase in radiation exposure.
Yes.
Regardless of internal or external radiation exposure. But that, to me, I mean, that's, I think they're looking at a few radioactive elements in those animals. But I think you mentioned earlier on the radio that there's some stuff coming in from Japan now today or this
yes.
week.
Yeah, some floats. Some of the stuff that the wind can catch is, they've been finding since September on Kodiak Island, yes.
Yeah, so that's big news, too.
Yep. It is indeed.
Yeah.
All right, Carl, I want to thank you for your call from Anchorage, and I'm glad you brought that up about something affecting the marine mammals. They definitely, all you have to do is look at the pictures, there's definitely something wrong with those animals. In the Arctic, it's just not known how isolated, how local it is yet, but big story of the year. Anuska in Manakotex. Hello, Anuska.
Oh, hello.
Hi. Welcome to Talk of Alaska.
I made it through.
You did.
I'd like to talk about jobless in the villages.
All right.
Right before elections come, as everybody knows, the governors are the local entities, are the president. They're always saying that they're going to have more jobs within the not just within the villages, but all over. In the small villages that I've lived in different villages. I've lived in Togiak, in Manakotik, Dillingham, Anchorage. And there's a wide variety of differences. And people that has went from village to village know what I mean. During the summer times, me and my children used to go into Togiak when the fishing prices were a lot higher. And then during the winter, I take them into the city because they have more wider variety of resources for kids that are either chemically exposed or FAS or for single parents. And speaking as a single parent, it's hard to try to make ends meet. It's not easy. That's one of my subjects. Somebody already brushed up on the alcohol issues. We heard about that.
We did.
And then another thing with the health corporation. They do a lot of meetings. They go into different, like in Bristol Bay area, the health corporation goes into Dillingham and they have big meetings. a lot of the per diem is used. If they're really serious about saving money, they should get on teleconference like the FAS groups have teleconferences.
Good point. Very good, Anuska. Thank you very much. Call from Anacortes.
You're welcome.
All right, this one. Thank you. Bruce in Sitka says, how about the strong arm tactics with law enforcement on the Yukon River? Well, that was the fall of 2010, actually, but certainly one that certainly got people worked up here and is still going on. The trial happened. And also another obituary to add to the list, Ben Grusendorf, former Speaker of the House, a man who was a real statesman in the state game board, and a definite huge loss to the state of Alaska. I'm glad you brought that one up, Bruce. And Sitka, John joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, John. John, are you with us? Hiya, John.
Hello, Steve.
Okay, you just got about a minute, John.
Well, I just wanted to comment. This is sort of the seeds of it's a news story this year and seeds of a news story next year, and that is Carol Como's retirement. And after I was term limited out on the school board, the replacement with Gretchen Guess, former state senator, who was, as a newbie, elected president of the board, and put those together with the governor's, or the mayor's, rather, education summit in Anchorage. And there's a lot of things happening in education in Anchorage, and they are seeds for bigger things, I think, next year.
Yeah, I think also what's going on nationally with some loosening up of the No Child Left Behind by the Obama administration, so that the state now is free to, and evidently the Parnell administration is going to go for that waiver.
Yes, I think that's right, and I'm hoping that law gets changed altogether. But until that happens, the waiver I think would be very helpful.
Right. And basically, you know, for years, all the way back to Harry to Covey, what's his name? Covey was the, yeah, he'll know. He'll be upset that I can't grasp his name. They've been trying to reform education. Now they have to do it in order to get the waiver.
Yeah. Well, Carol Como's been an institution, done a lot of good for the Anchorage School District,
yeah.
But it'll be a new era coming up with the new superintendent.
Okay, well, we're already out of time. We didn't even get over half of them. Thanks to Kristen Spock and Connie Huff and, Josh Edge. I'm Steve Heimel.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by BP, supporting public broadcasting in Alaska, and by
AT&T, rethink possible. Details at att.com/Alaska or 1-800-252-7266.
You can find APRN headlines from around the state online at alaskapublic.org. There you'll discover local and worldwide news, upcoming events, and statewide community conversation. AlaskaPublic.org, connecting you to Alaska one story at a time.
This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at AlaskaPublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.